give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Friday of the second Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 26.
And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets.
Having been baptized and thus anointed as prophet, priest, and king, Jesus has begun demonstrating that the kingdom of heaven is at hand by his miracles. In Luke 6, he begins a new phase of spreading the kingdom he has come to establish. He begins to establish his church. I want you to notice how Jesus prepares for the great work that the Father has given him. He spends all night in prayer in verse 12. Only after he has secluded himself and prayed does he call his 12 apostles the next day, upon whom he will build his church. After calling the 12 apostles, Jesus begins to teach more directly about the kingdom of heaven over which he rules. As a preacher, I like noticing the fact that Jesus may have spent all night in prayer, not only asking for wisdom and strength to pick his disciples wisely, but he may have stayed up all night finishing his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. In his teaching, Jesus is, if you will, laying down the laws of his kingdom. He is revealing to his subjects how his kingdom works and how it is that he chooses to rule. In the Beatitudes, Jesus is fulfilling not only the law, but also the wisdom literature, for he is really speaking about wisdom above all things. Just as the Psalms and the Proverbs set before us two ways of life, so does Jesus. These two paths are, of course, the way of the wise and the way of the fool. It would be fruitful to meditate on the meaning of each of the phrases in the Beatitudes, but it may be more profitable for me to tell you that they are all really talking about the same thing. The essence of the Beatitudes is love, especially love for God. But this love shows itself in a way that is foreign to man's nature, for it comes in the form of humility and submission. At the heart of the Beatitudes is the attitude of prayer, and a heart that understands that only one who knows he cannot get for himself what he most truly needs, who is in a position to be blessed by God. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As with so many of Jesus' teachings, a wooden literalism in understanding Jesus' words would lead to heresy and nonsense. Though some have taught this, Jesus is not saying that being poor in earthly possessions is virtuous in and of itself. If this were true, then the millions of Hindus in India and Bangladesh, and the millions of animists in Africa who remain poor, would be blessed by God by virtue of having been born into poverty. But what a travesty of the life, teaching, and ministry of Jesus to claim that we are born blessed by God without ever having given our hearts and lives to him. The meaning is, of course, given in Matthew's Gospel, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." It is this poverty of spirit of which Jesus is speaking, and by which Mary not only saw but also bore God. What God wants from us is to recognize that we are spiritually poor. More than this, we are born spiritually bankrupt, for by nature we do not desire God. I have nothing in this life that I have not been given by God, and I have nothing to give him but my poverty. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Again, we are not to suppose that being hungry in the belly is virtuous in and of itself. Taken literally, if you want to play that game, then I am blessed about 4 or 5 times during the day, but spend a lot of time apart from God's blessing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, or blessed are those who hunger for God. This is the real meaning. Those who are poor in spirit because they are humble and acknowledge their weakness are also those who will be hungry for God. Those who are big, fat, and sassy are full. They're full, all right. They're full of themselves, and they're filled with God's good gifts. But they've mistaken the gift for the giver, the creation for the creator, and so they will go spiritually hungry, thinking they have no need for God. What God desires is that just as our bellies tell us to go and find food to make us strong, lest we grow weaker and even die, our souls are to tell us to go and find our spiritual food to make us strong, lest we grow weaker and die. We are to go out and eagerly, joyfully gather our daily bread, the manna from heaven that God graciously provides, and which is nothing less than God himself. He has filled the hungry with good things because he has fed the spiritually hungry with himself. Blessed are those who weep now, for you shall laugh. God takes the tragedy of our lives and turns them into comedies. We weep now, but in the end we shall all laugh. I imagine that in heaven we'll be laughing all the time, and that one of the things we will laugh at is all the boneheaded, foolish things we did on earth. Because sin will be abolished and the sting of death will have been removed, we can safely laugh at ourselves. I think it may be like those times on earth when we do something embarrassing and at which sometimes others laugh. At the same time, all we feel is shame and embarrassment, but once we are safely removed from the hurt, we can laugh again. In this way, we see that the Beatitudes are always fresh in our lives. We are always called to be humbled before God and hungry for his presence. If you meditate on the Beatitudes, you will see that they are all connected. St. Ambrose wrote, "Let us see how St. Luke encompassed the 8 blessings in the 4. We know that there are 4 cardinal virtues, temperance, justice, prudence, and fortitude. One who is poor in spirit is not greedy. One who weeps is not proud, but is submissive and tranquil. One who mourns is humble. One who is just does not deny what he knows is given jointly to all for us. One who is merciful gives away his own goods. One who bestows his own goods does not seek another's, nor does he contrive a trap for his neighbor. These virtues are interwoven and interlinked, so that one who has one may be seen to have several, and a single virtue befits the saints. Where virtue abounds, the reward too abounds. Thus, temperance has purity of heart and spirit, justice has compassion, patience has peace, and endurance has gentleness."
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.